It's Wednesday, January 23rd, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast. Show number 829, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a .com for $2.95 by using the promo code GEEK. 295. GNC is also sponsored in part by DYN. That's dyn.com. Get 30% off their DNS and email products and services. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey folks, boy, it feels like a long time coming, but we're back in action here. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the Lone Star State via the Geek News Central HD Mobile Broadcast Studio. Everyone, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here, and I tell you, it has been... forever. And let me just explain right off the bat what happened. You know, I had a show in Honolulu Thursday after I had essentially gotten over the flu. Everything was on track. I flew out Saturday night for Texas. I got here Sunday. Everything's good. I got the studio set up. And Monday morning, I had a breakfast meeting and went to breakfast with the team members that I'm basically working with here. And about noon, I mean, I started turning green. I mean, oh my God, was I sick. And got hold of some bad food Monday that by about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was face planted down in my bed in my hotel, making sporadic runs to the restroom. Montezuma's revenge was upon me in an unbelievable force, and there was absolutely no way in this God's green earth that I was going to be able to do a show. Either I was going to be Ralphing, or I was have to... It was not good. I'm just going to tell you that much. It was not good. And I thought, okay, you know, I'm at midnight on Monday night. I'm agonizing because, you know, the CES and everything going on. I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? So I basically sent out an email newsletter Tuesday morning saying I've got food poisoning. I'm sorry. And, you know, just what else? You know, one thing after the other. Tuesday, thought maybe I can do a show, but I just wasn't quite there. But I want to get caught up. Boy, I tell you, it's been horrible. I need to get shows out. So you guys are going to get a special treat. There's going to be a show tonight, and there's going to be a show tomorrow night, and then there's going to be a Saturday morning tech. We're going to be doing it via Google Hangout. So we're going to get back on track, and I'll be doggone if I'm not going to get 3 shows out this week. It's got to happen. And but thanks for being patient. And I know a number of you emailed me and said don't worry about it, but you know, it goes against my nature to not do shows, and it's been depressing. And even today, my gut is not right. I'm having to go real easy on the type of foods that I am eating. Someone said, you want to go to lunch? And they said, where you want to go? And they said, and I'm like, oh, no, you guys go ahead. I'll get something different. So just trying to ease back into food here, even on a Wednesday. I mean, it nailed me hard. But hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And I promise, even now tonight, I'm going to work on videos for CES. They're going to start going up finally. But, you know, my team's waiting to write, and they haven't had nothing to write on because I've just been, you know, not in it. It's just the perfect storm, and I hope this is not a sign of things to come for 2013, I'll be honest with you. Hey, but of course, hey, I want to give, again, a warm welcome to the Hannah and longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. We want to, of course, to make sure that they get over to geeknewscentral.com. If I can actually flip the switch here correctly and make the transition, you guys will be able to see. Let's see if I can actually do this here. Can I do it? Let me make sure I'm making. I didn't do it. Good. Well, anyway, close enough. So definitely come over to geeknewscentral.com. And the content writers are still putting out great content, so definitely want to thank them for what they're doing. So make sure you get over to GNC and all the stuff that we've got going on, and really keep abreast of all the tech that we're writing. There you got to see the green screen. So my inordinate switching is definitely in place here, but. Get over to the website. Definitely check it out. Now, if you want to send me an email or follow me on Twitter, @GeekNews is the best place to do that. @GeekNews, the tweet address. GeekNews@gmail.com is the email address. And, of course, our hotline is available at 619-342-7365. As I said, we're live today from the Lone Star State. And I'm green screening it. And really, I've got the hotel room pretty dark. The little lights are doing a pretty good key. I had to kind of re-key here just before I started the show, but overall, I think we're looking pretty fantastic from a key standpoint and doing the show tonight. But want to thank all of you for again being patient with me and tuning in here. I do have a couple of things that I really need to talk about today. Got some great tech news, lots of stuff out. I just hope I'm not screwing myself by doing two in a row. But again, Saturday Morning Tech, we'll do that with a Google Hangout with Rob Greenlee and another guest. So we're trying to keep the show going while I'm on the road here. And again, there'll be I'll be here through the end of next week, and then I go home for the weekend. And really, from you guys, it'll be transparent because all the shows for the next about month will be from the road. And promise we'll be on schedule and putting stuff out on a regular basis. I do want to take a second here and talk about one of our new sponsors on the website. And I really want you guys to take some time and visit our new friends over at dine.com. And, you know, they're doing some great stuff. And we've got some special offers for you here. And we're going to make available a 30% discount that I think you guys are going to be pretty excited about using. You know, so really what it is, Dine helps website owners stay online. Uptime is their bottom line. And uptime is basically making sure that website owners keep the web traffic flowing to those sites and really flowing fast. And really, it's with, you know, this is important. When you have a DNS provider, you cannot afford your DNS provider to ever, ever, ever be down. It's something that just cannot fail. Now, Dyne has enterprise-level DNS offering. They have advanced features like global traffic management, load balancing, and something that's called active failover. And this is something that we employ at Raw Voice is active failover. Basically, there's a monitoring that's going on of a website. And when the actual website falls over, in other words, when a website crashes, the active failover will basically see that the website has died and will redirect the traffic to a backup server or a redundant server to make sure that you're never offline. And, you know, Dyne really has service for companies any size to get started, even small companies. If you're doing your own personal website, you know, Dyne serves more than 4 million customers around the world. So what I want you to do is I want you to stop taking chances with uptime and start talking to Dyne about their best-in-class managed DNS. And really, this is a great product. So D-Y-N, get fast internet by using Dyne for DNS. Visit dyne.com/podcast 30, fill out the contact form, or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code PODCAST30 at checkout. Again, visit dyne.com/podcast30. Go over and check out all their different products and services. I'm going to tell you, they have a huge number of services available, and there's consumer products available too. I've used these guys for years. They have, obviously, their DNS offerings. They've got the email product, which is really good. This and is basically help you with bulk and transactional email delivery, SMT relay, and more. So there's, again, email sending products, email receiving products. They do a great job, and they have explanations of who uses it and the features and the pricing. Some of their email sending products start at $19.95 a year, going up to a little bit higher level where you could have as much as $30 a month. Some email receiving products as well, where you have storage and backup queuing and stuff. So this is really important when you're managing and using your own, doing your own email. This is a great product, and I'm going to tell you, you'll want to definitely check them out, along again with all the DNS services that they have available. And I use the remote access and standard services, both. I use both of these products. As the dynamic DNS is how I become very familiar with Dyne in the early days. And of course, their enterprise products, which is really inexpensive, starting at $30 per month, is pretty awesome as well, and what they're able to do in providing a great service for you. So definitely check the folks out at Dyne, and we want to thank them for being a sponsor here. And again, all you got to do is visit dyne.com and use that promo code PODCAST30. I got up there on the website for those of you that have are watching the show, so you can write that address down. All right, let me go ahead and talk just a little bit more here about, really what's been going on with me. There was really, between the time that we talked last Thursday and today, there was just getting caught up, getting back on my feet, making sure that everything was good to leave. My son and daughter are getting ready to apply for summer programs at the Naval Academy, and they are really excited. The Naval Academy offers every summer sessions, they call them. They go for a week, and they have a science program and a leadership program. My daughter's going to apply for the leadership, and my son's applying for the science program. So Dad's been basically reviewing their application and making sure that the wording is right. And also, these applications go through a review by military members, obviously. So being Dad is retired military, there's certain wording you can use and different techniques that will kind of make the reader understand this is probably a military kid. And, you know, there's just little tricks in the trade, and some of the, you don't necessarily use a lot of acronyms, but certain terms. So helping them with that and getting that down and ready to submit. And worked with them last night online, remotely, making sure that everything was good. So even though I'm here, I still, you know, doing the Dad responsibilities, making sure that they are getting taken care of what they need to at home with everything going on there. But other than that, it's just been business as usual. Not fun consulting on a day after you've coming out with food poisoning, but sometimes you just have to power through. You really, really do. So anyway, that kind of ends what I've got in my short notes here. Don't forget our sponsors over at GoDaddy.com, and we've got some great products for you. We've got their website builder, where you can get 50% off by using the promo code WST50. And this is where you, if you really are having challenges in getting started and getting a website set up, their website builder is absolutely fantastic, in that it's got templates, it's got royalty-free graphics. All their templates are mobile-ready. It's just real easy to get started, unlimited bandwidth. And with this 50% off code, you're going to save a lot of money. Again, WST50 is a code. And also our $295.com are still going on through the end of the month. This is going to end soon, so make sure you get over to GoDaddy.com. If you want to pick up some domains at $2.95 each, use that promo code Geek295, and that's going to save you a lot of money. Now, the best way to really to do it is just come over to GeekNewsCentral.com, and there's basically a link on the website. It's going to get you into GoDaddy with the savings built right into the basically what you're going to click on. And this is going to save you a bunch of cash when you get over there. So, when you're over GoDaddy.com, definitely check out what we have available. All my promo codes are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And you can save a lot of money using those variety of codes. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy for all the different promo codes that we have available for you to use. So let me go ahead and get Chrome loaded up here so that we can get into all the content that we have for you tonight, because I do have a stack of stuff. And let me close a couple of pieces of paper here. The old computer is just howling. I can feel the heat radiating off this laptop over here. And that is always a sign that it's working hard. But one thing I do want to do is don't forget my good friend Danica. She sent me a little message recently. Check it out.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
Thanks, Dan. Oh, we're not doing that one again. Thanks, Danica, for your endorsement and promotion here of us. And again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Okay, I see I got a little something going on with the video graphics over here. That I guess I have something set incorrectly. Those of you who are listening, you could care less, but thanks for being patient with me tonight as I'm getting my land legs back from having not been very productive here over the last couple of weeks. Hey, so I want to just talk about Apple. Apple's come out with their quarter one earnings today, and they reveal that Mac and iPod sales are down year over year. Now, they did have pretty incredible numbers. They had $54.5 billion in revenues and a profit of $13.1 billion. And but everyone's still complaining that they're having, its numbers are down. And I'm like, give them a break. They did $54.5 billion in revenues with a profit of $13.1 billion. Do the math on that and look at the profit margin. You know, pretty good, if you look at it from a percentage standpoint. Now, they sold Mac sales totaled 4.1 million, and that's in contrast to 5.2 million sold in the previous year's quarter. So meaning that they didn't sell as many Macs. But one thing that they did say is they've sold 500 million iOS devices, and that's pretty incredible, with 75 million of those just in the last quarter. So you can tell that their Christmas holiday was a very profitable one. And if you really think about that number, they bragged about the 400 million number just a year ago, June of 2012. So it's not even been a year. So 100 million devices. And, that's pretty incredible if you think about the actual numbers sold there. But 500 million. Now, there were some other folks out with earnings report. Netflix announced their quarter four earnings. And they've showed 2 million new customers streaming in the U.S. with 6 million total internationally. Here's the incredible number and if you look at the profit margin difference between two companies, so you look at Netflix, they did $945 million in revenue, but they only had a profit of $8 million on that $945 million. So if you look at that from a dollars and cents perspective, they really did not have as good a return on their expenditures. So, you know, that really what that boils down to is, you know, less than 10% is their margin. But they have had this huge growth of subscribers with 27 million in the United States alone, and again with 6 million outside of the country for 33 million people that are paying a monthly subscription to Netflix. So, you know, they're on the rebound after their poo-paw that happened with the Quixtar spinoff that really didn't go so good in 2011. So it's glad to see them rocking and rolling and doing very well. If you are on Twitter a lot, you'll know that Twitter has continued to integrate some services. Twitter has been working closely with Vine, and they acquired them essentially late last year, and it looks like now that that relationship is bearing its first fruit. Earlier today, CEO Dick Costello revealed Vine's new capabilities with a single tweet with a Vine video embed. So this is like a Twitter, like Twitter's card implementation, and the video appears as a link in the tweet, and users only need to click the View Media instead of Show Summary link underneath for that tweet to expand and show the embedded video. So once played, the clip loops until you tell it to stop. Now, we'll have to see how this is going to work, but we'll see how this is integrated with the rest of their service offerings as they start to update apps and bring the Vine, client into the iOS and Android apps. So again, it's all about the media. The media play is once again rearing its head and is as to be. You know, that's where they think it's at. Audio and video is going to be big, 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 big. Again, if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send that email. One thing that I'm always looking for, I'm looking for gadgets to lower my travel load. And the folks over in Engadget today have a article on a new product called the Plug Bug. And this is pretty slick. What this is a global traveler, which allows you to travel and plug and basically charge both your iPhone and a MacBook at the same time. And so this is available for about $45 US, can be found on the 12 South site. And again, it's a hybrid charger that adds five international plugs, U.S., Canada, Japan, U.K., Hong Kong, Singapore, continental Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and China. And of course, it has the combo MacBook/USB charger. No word or not if it supports the iPhone 5 yet. So many of the companies are racing to get iPhone 5 compatibility in, but most companies aren't quite ready yet. They're saying March. But again, Plug Bug, if you're an international traveler and looking to lower your cable count. All right, the Nintendo Wii, the Wii U, is going to be getting two system updates in the spring and summer to optimize the interface's speed. So they're saying that these two system updates are going to allow software will launch faster, and it's going to basically, when you come out of a game or something you're using, you're going to get returned to the Wii U menu faster. So Nintendo is doing some updates to it. It's nice to see that they're actually making that happen. They did a press release about this today. Have a link up in the show notes. Show notes are always at gncshownotes.com. Of course, the link will be to the show notes at geeknewscentral.com as well. The White House has unveiled a National Day of Civic Hacking. Yes, civic hacking to solve problems with open data. So on June 1st and June 2nd, they're going to have events in 27 cities that are going to work with data from government agencies such as the Census Bureau, NASA, and the Department of Labor. Basically, they're going to serve up public available data for developers and entrepreneurs to concoct solutions for problems affecting cities, states, and the country. So this is being organized largely by Coding for America, Random Acts of Kindness, and Eric Schmidt's Innovation of Endeavors. So this is big. So they are going to be taking submissions on ideas that you think would be good for the weekend of or National Day of Civic Hacking. But it's actually June 1st and June 2nd. So I have a link up to that information in the show notes. This is probably a hacking event you can probably attend and not get arrested for. One thing, since I've been using Windows 8, as I've been looking for to make it just a little more, I guess for a better word, the screen to be a little more sexy, kind of come off the default stuff, I found a good tutorial on how to spruce up your Windows 8 system over at makeusof.com. Have a link up in the show notes for those of you that are looking to spruce up your Windows 8 layout and get it off that default one that came with the operating system. One thing that was said in the YouTube's earning report call was basically talking about YouTube and how YouTube is taking a larger role in the from within the company and becoming a more of a, stakeholder in Google's earnings revenue. And so, you know, video is baked into nearly all of Google's products. And of course, advertising that on that video is key. Google's top 100 brand advertisers spent 50% more money on YouTube in 2012 than during the previous year, and the site now generates more than 4 billion views a day. And of course, the Gangnam Style video garnered that creator nearly $8 million in ad revenue alone, but in the earnings call, the video site was mentioned 23 different times, and this was according to a transcript that was produced by Seeking Alpha. And a year ago, YouTube was only mentioned 15 times. During the Q4 2010, only 6. So now YouTube is obviously getting a much bigger play. The video site can now be viewed on more than 400 million devices. And a growing percentage of those views obviously are getting monetized. So, I think their $1.56 billion acquisition probably was a good deal. And it looks to me like they've done some pretty incredible things in making money with YouTube. Now, that doesn't come without a price. Google spent over $1 billion in infrastructure alone in the last quarter. That's an incredible amount of money to spend on infrastructure, but it does take money to make these services work and make them work seamlessly. I want to talk a little bit about a new protocol called Dial. I heard about this at CES, been wanting to get more information. The folks over at GigaOM produced a piece today that is a good starter for many of you that are looking out for this or you want to know more about this. But most of us know about AirPlay. You know, AirPlay is where you can take your iPad or your iPhone or your iPod, and if you have an Apple TV, you can send that video to or mirror what's on your screen to your Apple TV that'll show up on your television screen. So Netflix and YouTube have teamed up to launch something called Dial. And Dial is a protocol that helps developers of second screen apps discover and launch on applications on smart TVs and connected devices. The effort is also getting support from a number of notable players, including Samsung, Sony, Hulu, BBC, and really Dial could become a piece of an effort to establish an open alternative to Apple's AirPlay. And I think this is very, very important that this functionality gets baked into other devices, and you know, really that there is some competition for AirPlay. Now, one thing that I saw earlier, and this is kind of an oh by the way, we saw at CES talked to the Roku folks, did a piece with them on what they were up to, what was new. But how many of you know that the Roku team, the Roku company, was born from initiative from Netflix? Netflix was had initially put together a box, and they were getting ready to launch it when the CEO of Netflix says, I don't want to be in the hardware business. And if I'm in the hardware business and I'm trying to get Netflix on Apple, and at the time it was 2005, 2006, 7 time frame, that Steve Jobs would never take, Steve Jobs would never take my phone call. And so they basically spun off a group of 20 or 25 people that were working at Netflix and started Roku. And Roku was born as an open platform. And because it was spun off as a private company, Netflix obviously had a placeholder inside the Roku. And I think it's one of the reasons why Roku continues to have really great success, as they understood the value in being open and allowing people to come into the platform. So with Netflix basically getting on board here, you can almost be absolutely guaranteed that the Roku team will also be a supporting Dial. And that really excites me in a big way. So those of you that are on Android devices, if there really is, and then YouTube is on board, so, and that means Google's on board. So what that'll ultimately end up being is that you will have an Android device that will be Dial capable, and you'll be able to send your video that you're watching from your Android device to your Roku or another Google TV or something similar. So I'm really excited about this. It's going to be big. And I think that there was some competing stuff in the space that, you know, we heard about two or three different other protocols that were being proposed and moved forward while we were in Vegas. But I think that the important part here is that the manufacturers have understood the value in AirPlay and have understood that they need to get their act together and come together as a team to compete against this. Now, there already is several protocols that make the Android device capable of being transmitted to the TV, but it always requires a dongle. Nothing's baked into the devices, and I think it's key that this gets baked into the TVs, and maybe a year from now, a Dial will be a competitor in making essentially those of you that are not Apple fans that want this AirPlay type of functionality, make it more seamless across more devices. So time will tell on whether or not that happens or not. One thing that I did saw today, and let me, this the page, yes, it's going to reload here, and I saw this over at OGizmo. How many of you are a fan of Iron Man? How many of you, you're probably pretty big on, I don't want to do your survey. How many of you are a fan of that movie series? Well, the folks over at OGizmo.com have caught up with a guy who is building a, basically, he's built himself an Iron Man, for better words, of a first component. And this thing actually has a laser attached to it. He's using a pretty sophisticated laser, too, one that's not inexpensive, but shoots a pretty powerful beam. So, you got to love it when people put together stuff that they, take time and build and make it look slick and it works and it's wired up. And so we'll see how far this guy takes this project. But, again, a heavy metal hero fan made an Iron Man gauntlet. It can shoot a real laser. Whether or not it'll do any damage or not, that's two different things. But at least they've got something there that this guy's, I'm sure, having a blast with. And he's got some coverage here at Geek News Central and, of course, over at OGizmo.com. The folks over at Forbes have been talking about Google's driverless car and the implications that can come from it. You know, I've been a big fan, and I cannot wait to the day where I can get in my vehicle and I can say, if nothing else, drive me to the grocery store. Or better yet, pick the kids up at school. Or whatever it may be, a vision impaired person that could get in the vehicle and say, take me to the doctor. Or, you know, any type of function where you don't actually have to put your hands on the steering wheel and it lets you, basically, the vehicle gets you where you need to go. So you know, I think there's a lot of disruption that could happen if they get this thing off the ground and get it into vehicles and get it into mass production. So the folks over at Forbes are predicting that this driverless car is worth trillions to the bottom line of Google. You know, and if you look at things that have changed the economy, you know, if you really think about where this could go, and how Google has disrupted other types of businesses, it could change energy consumption. It can change the way auto insurance is done. It can lots of challenges to market leaders across numerous industries. And, you know, people always underestimate the implications of a change in technology. But if you think about Kodak, you know, out of business because no one needs film anymore. They're in bankruptcy. Blockbuster, they're closing, I heard, 80 stores yesterday. Borders, you know, completely decimated by Amazon. Sears, you know, this is a company that continues to lose market share. And I think what we're going to see is if this driverless car gets off the ground, we're going to see a ripple effect. And what could really happen is it could have far-reaching implications. And, you know, if you think about it from another standpoint, let's consider people that are getting older. You know, my grandfather drove in his 90s. Should he have been driving? Probably not. But you could not take him away from the driver's seat. You know, he lived in the country. He had to be able to load my grandmother up and my Uncle Jim, who is mentally handicapped, and had to take him to town to get groceries, and there was just really no choice. Now, they had Meals on Wheels and that stuff, bringing food in, but, you know, this is a 90-year-old man that wanted his independence. So, I would have felt a lot safer if they could have got into a vehicle and said, take me to Safeway. You know, and he would have had to have drove. If the vehicle had drove him the Safeway, he would have still had his independence, probably been a lot safer to the drivers around him, probably safer to them. And, you know, I think it's pretty incredible what could happen. I just hope this is something that really continues to move. I think from an energy standpoint, just the ability to keep traffic moving and to ebb and flow when there's, you know, there is an accident or something, would be big. But I don't know about you guys. Are you guys excited about these vehicles, about the ability of having a driverless car? And do you believe that the assessment that Forbes has made, that this could add trillions to the bottom line of Google? I really think it could, myself as well. And I think as we go through this year, what we should explore is more of these technologies, these disruptive technologies that are showing their faces, that we can take a look at and see if, you know, how's this going to change the way we do business down the road. You know, I always watching for news about the Navy, being a retired military guy and having spent nearly 25 years in the Navy. The Navy has been testing for a long time. As a matter of fact, I think this testing actually takes place in Dahlgren. Is a NSWC Dahlgren is the name of the base. It's in Virginia, and the Navy has this railgun, and they did a new test, and they've announced that the shot they fired on December 10th broke the world record for the world's most powerful shot. A 23-pound aluminum projectile rocketed out of the Navy's electromagnetic railgun at a reported speed of Mach 7. So that is incredible. So this 33-megajoule shot was powerful enough to launch 33 smart cars at 100 miles per hour, means the Navy can fire projectile at least 125 miles. And this is an incredible, that's using no gun power, completely electromagnetic, just amazing. Now, they've got a bigger goal. They want to be able to fire a projectile more than 200 miles, at a speed of more than 8,000 feet per second. Again, this is a kinetic energy warhead would eliminate the use of hazard explosives on ships and on the battlefield. And to reach those distances and speeds, the Navy will need to develop a railgun that can reach, be able to shoot at 64 megajoules. So we'll see where this goes. And I got a call coming in from San Francisco. Sorry that I can't answer the call, whoever's calling me right now. Next article up, Google reports and reveals two-thirds of police requests for data lacked a warrant. So Google said that 68% of the U.S. government requests for user information were without a warrant. The company said that just 22% of the requests used a search warrant and 10% relied on court orders or other processes. So from July to December 2012, Google received 21,839 U.S. government requests for information on 33,634 users, and the company said it complied with 88% of those requests. They've said that data requests have increased 70% since 2009. So if you look at that, July to December, let's just do some math here, okay? So let's just do 180 days. So if that was 21,389, and we divide that by a simple 180, that's 118 requests every day. And if you look at our 50 U.S. states, that means that there was at least information requested on 2 to 3 people every day from every state in this country where the U.S. government was looking for information on those individuals. And 68% of them were requests without search warrants, of which Google complied with 88% of those requests. If that doesn't sit you back and make you think a little bit, it should. That's definitely a big number. And we know that the ECPA, that's Electronic Communication Privacy Act, only requires police to obtain a subpoena issued without a judge's approval to read emails, Facebook messages, and other electronic communications that have been open or are more than 180 days old. We know that there's been other types of stuff that's went through, but it just goes to show you that our data is readily available to Uncle Sam if they need that information. There's a good article, a good website that I've started following called StopTheGap.com. And what it is this website's promoting better broadband. They're fighting data caps, usage-based billing, and other internet overcharging schemes. A gal by the name of Susan Crawford is explaining America's captive audience what's going on within the telecom industry and the monopoly that they have over us. This is a 60-minute video. And I think if you want to watch and get more up to speed on why we're lagging so far behind the United States on our broadband speed, that you would take some time and watch some of this video. I did, and I was intrigued, and I think you will be too. So I'll have the link, obviously, up in the show notes. If you have comments on today's show, I want you to drop me an email at drop me a call to the hotline. It's 619-342-7365. I am not in the market for a new laptop computer. I'm still doing pretty good with the one I have. I've got a Dell here that I'm using. And but if I was in the market, the HP 8770W mobile workstation would be one that I would look at. I looked at this review of this particular laptop, and this baby is meant for speed video editing. They're actually using it with a 4K camera, doing some pretty incredible stuff with it. It's a monster. It's got a i7-3820 hyper-threaded quad core. It's got 16 gigs of RAM. It's got 120 gig SSD. It's got an AMD Fire Pro M4000 graphics card. It's got a Dreamcolor 1920x1080 monitor. And this baby is loaded. It's got FireWire. It's got eSATA, USB 3.0, Of course, at 1 gig internet, it's got standard USB audio and video ports. It's even got a place to hook up an external monitor. Now, this is not a small computer. This is a nice 17-inch monitor, but I'm going to tell you, it's pretty slick. And if I was to buy one, this would be it. $1,560 is the base price of what it starts out at. But if you're looking for a video production machine, this probably is one to take a peek at. It's definitely one that I'm going to keep on my list in case something happens to my my machine here. But you know, it's a big, pretty monster from a processing standpoint. Hey, one thing I do want to say is, you know, we were encouraged at CES to go 4K next year, and I'm sorry, I am not going 4K when we're shooting stuff for the web. I think these folks are just looking to drain my pocketbook. If someone wants to donate some 4K cameras, be happy to shoot in it, but processing it, the size of the media alone is simply incredible. No thank you. I will wait a few years until the prices come down. All right, let's talk a little bit about copyright, peer-to-peer. Obviously, there's a big launch. The mega launch happened. We'll talk about that here in a second. But initially, a Dutch court has declared a criminal case against a Pirate Bay uploader inadmissible. The man had admitted to uploading more than 5,000 ebooks to the popular BitTorrent site, but the court ruled that copyright infringement case belongs in a civil, not criminal court. So the Dutch are not going to criminally prosecute peer-to-peer users. They are going to force the companies to go after them in civil actions. So the Dutch anti-piracy group BREN, B-R-E-I-N, is not happy about this. They're going to appeal, but I think this is fantastic and probably right where this type of action has needed to be for a long time. But on the other hand, a U.S. Guy that was doing some of the same things, but he was ripping movies, he's entering a 5-year prison sentence for having been the leader of a group of four that were basically doing zero-day releases on movies. So the Imagine BitTorrent group SysOp has speaked out, and you know, he makes a couple of comments. He said, serving time for copyright infringement, a victimless crime that I never made a single dollar off. In fact, over the years, I bet I paid $1,000 or so in donations and server costs, not even including the time I spent doing code work for a dozen or so places. He said he went on to say that, in his opinion, the case should have been a civil one and doesn't see why copyright infringement is a federal offense. He says, pirating is a federal offense. It's beyond me how this happened. Federal offenses were always the most serious of crimes. You're telling me how copying a little audio video has fallen into this category? He blames the copyright groups for influencing legislation in their favor. He says, I guess if you pay off enough politicians, give so many millions to the right law enforcement agencies, you can get anything you want. Throw in a couple high-paid lawyers to twist the words of the Patriot Act around and by law, pirating is a federal offense. He says, it's bad enough they call you a terrorist in front of your kids. I think it's their way of justifying it. But then there's the 5-year max for the first offense. He says, WTF is that? You're telling a person with no previous criminal convictions can get up to 5 years for releasing a movie. And that's exactly what has happened. He is going to jail for 5 years for releasing a series of movies. So what do you guys think? Do you think this guy should be going to jail for 5 years? Do you think he should have been, taken to court civilly and sued for damages? Which he'll probably do anyway. But do you think it's worth, do you think this is fair, a 5-year sentence for copyright infringement? I'd really love to hear from you guys. Geeknews@gmail.com. My Twitter address is @geeknews. Of course, the hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, Kim.com has launched Mega, and he's preparing a Mega Cash Prize encryption challenge. There's been some people up there saying it's not as secure as what they said it was. And they are saying that they're working on making it better and making it making the encryption better and everything. And so they're going, it's a work in progress. But so far, they've already cured nearly a million new users. So this is pretty big. While at the same time, people are going after them right away. Dotcom's mega anti-privacy group has moved to cut off its finances, trying to get their resellers, the people that are actually doing the financial transactions for them, shut down. So we'll see where this goes over the next couple of weeks and how it's affected. Another announcement that Apple made was that their user base has grown, their iCloud user base has grown to over 250 million people. So congratulations to that for Apple. Also, they're sending 2 billion iMessages every single day. Now, 2 billion, that had to take a serious impact on the old Verizon folks. Huge, 2 billion every day. That's incredible. It really is. There's a pretty good article in the Wall Street Journal. I guess there was a big fire in Chicago. And of course, those of you that are freezing to death right now with these super cold temperatures, you guys get to see what it looks like after firefighters pour water on a building all night. And it's pretty incredible, the ice pictures that have come out of this. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. But you don't spray water in a building when it's minus 10 degrees all night long and not have a pretty incredible ice spectacle to review. Hey, GoDaddy has announced a new product. It's a CDN for small businesses. And, you know, GoDaddy's been transforming a lot lately, building out its product line. And so they've just announced this. I'm going to try to get more information on it. Their GoDaddy's new service is called the Website Accelerator. And again, it's launched on Tuesday for users of the company's Ultimate Hosting Plan. So if you've got an Ultimate Hosting Plan, you'll definitely want to check this out. And again, it's optimized for sites that are fairly straight HTML, maybe a bit of image heavy. So this will definitely be something we'll be looking at. But the GoDaddy CDN is intelligent catching parts of customers' web pages, so which is very, very smart. So we'll see what happens with this, and I'll find out more information as it becomes available. But definitely check it out if you're a GoDaddy customer already, and it's available for you to check out. Again, I saw this article over at GigaOhm.com, and oops, I did a half switch there. Back to me. That's kind of cool. I wonder if I can do that again. Okay. There was a Trojan that was making the rounds being sold called the Ghazi Trojan. And federal prosecutors today in New York announced three men have been charged with this. And here's I'm just going to put it down in where the rubber hits the road. Here's the people that have been charged. Nikita Kuzmin, a 25-year-old Russian national. Denise Miami Kalavakis and Miha Ionat Panasuka, a 28-year-old Romanian national. Let me see here. Russian, Romanian, Trojans, Ghazi selling this service. Why am I not surprised? So these guys have been charged in federal court. I don't know if they've been arrested, but at least that's the story on the street. NASA has revealed some pretty cool pictures. They've revealed magnetic braids in the sun's atmosphere, and they're trying to kind of figure out what this really is all about. And a pretty incredible picture if you look at it. But a small NASA telescope has revealed these magnetic braids of super hot matter in the sun's outer atmosphere. And this is what they think may explain the mysteriously hot corona. So, no, we're not talking about corona that you drink, but the corona of the sun. And again, the NASA's high-resolution corona imager basically has been able to detect this. But so anyway, they're looking at how this is how this ties into the sun. But you know the surface of the sun is really not that hot. It's only 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and But the corona, the outer atmosphere, far above the sun's surface, is hotter by a thousandfold, even the absence of solar flares. They're saying that the sun's surface may heat the corona to 2.7 million degrees. But anyway, they figure that these high-resolution images of the sun's corona support the idea of the Manic Braids generating tremendous amount of heat, probably enough to explain readings up to 10.8 million degrees. So if you think about that, the sun's really not that hot, but it's this, you know, this magnifying effect. But very, very cool. Cool stuff coming out of NASA. This is the type of science that those of you out there, the super geeks, you live for. And I like seeing this kind of stuff coming out. All right, AT&T U-verse customers, sorry, you're not watching this show because you guys are still, in at least 15 states, you're out of television and internet service. So sorry, but AT&T has had some issues and no explanations of what's going on, and they're saying it may be at least another 24 hours before things come back. All right, retired federal judge has criticized Carmen Ortiz's handling of the Aaron Swartz case. There's a really good read over on Tech Dirt. I'm not going to go into the dirty details at all. I'm going to leave this for you guys to look at. But what I want to do here is kind of wrap up the show today, and we'll be back with you again with another show tomorrow. But I want to thank all of you for being patient with me here and not having a show out on Monday and dealing with my Montezuma's revenge that I got hit so hard with a Monday afternoon that basically put me down for the count. Had not been that physically sick, and I think probably 1984 was the last time I remember being that physically sick from food poisoning, and it was incredible. And I'm still not 100%. Even today, my stomach is like, don't put anything in me. But I'm on the road to recovery, and we're going to have shows on schedule. We'll be back with you tomorrow night with another podcast. But I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me. It's been my pleasure bringing the show tonight. Everyone take care. We'll see you on the next go around. Take care. Aloha. And definitely support our sponsors. ThanksDying.com and GoDaddy. Everyone take care. See you next time. Aloha.